afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Watch out, Charleston. Well, actually, from Columbia to Charleston to Myrtle Beach. You have a chance of snow this week. Actually, tomorrow into Monday. If you place much, you know. If you think the weather forecast, you know what they're talking about. Anyway, yeah, Weather South, WX South. If you're on Facebook, he's got a premium side, but he every once in a while he comes onto to the free side where all the rest of us live, and he posts, you know, his weather forecast, kind of general. And yeah, he's predicting, let's see, rain turning to wet snowfall from east of Columbia to the PD region to Lake Murray, north into Conway, Myrtle Beach, possibly even Charleston. A healthy upper low, blah, 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 blah. Basically saying in one county it could be raining, in one county it could be an inch of snow an hour. And it's going to be wet snow, he said. So then you get the possibility of power lines and all that. So anyway, hey, the upstate had it. Everybody in the low country was jealous, and now y'all are going to get it, and we're going to go, whew, one snow a year is enough. Welcome to the show. This is Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be your host for the next hour. We're having to jumble things up a little bit today because of a guest caller that I hope we have. He's out on the lake fishing right now, but should be back at the ramp in time to call in. So what we're going to do is we're going to flip things around. This week I had the opportunity to speak to Stephen Schauble with the Center for Birds of Prey down in Almondaw, South Carolina. They're going to be at SeaWee this next weekend, displaying some of their birds and all. It's really a cool thing. So I had an opportunity to talk to him this week, and I've got a recorded session segment with him. It starts off a little funny because I thought we were going to bring this in from a break and have music and all, but it's not going to happen. So, but it's a great, great interview. And then it lasts pretty much this whole first segment. Come back in, finish it off, and then we're coming back. Hopefully, the special guest is Mike Dillon. He's the vice president of competition at Richard Childress Racing. He's an avid striper fisherman. They are having a striper tournament on Lake Hartwell today, the open striped bass tournament trail. But Mike is in charge of the big, big striper challenge that they have on Lake Murray last December. So Mike's going to join us to talk about striper fishing a little bit and more about his passion of getting kids involved in fishing. And then we're going to have an update with Mary Rowe from the Palmetto Conservation Foundation on the Palmetto Trail. And, hey, we'll be done again for another week. So, anyway, let's cue up that interview with Stephen. Listen to it. It's a lot of great information, and it will make you want to visit the Center for Birds of Prey in Almondaw, South Carolina. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are really unique in this state to have an organization like the Avon Conservation Center, and we're privileged to talk to Stephen Schauble today. He's the director of education. Stephen, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Roger.
Very good. Well, tell us first a little bit about yourself and what you do there at the center.
Well, I'm the director of education, as you said, and so I manage our educational programs. We have a multi-tiered approach here at the center. We have a medical facility where we treat injured birds. We have an educational program where we utilize birds to teach, and then we have a research component. And so my job entails the majority of that educational work, managing the collection of birds, developing the programs, and delivering a lot of those programs as well.
Very nice. Well, folks, if you go to the website right now, the first thing you're going to see is we will be closed February the 11th to the 13th for the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition. And let's jump straight to that because that is coming up really soon. And you're a big part of SeaWee. You're one of probably the major attractions as far as I'm concerned. So, first of all, tell us where you're going to be so when people go down there, they know exactly where to find you.
Well, we will be in Marion Square, Calhoun Street, and between King and Meeting. Our tent is on the Meeting Street and Calhoun Street corner. So it's hard to miss, and just follow the crowds, and they'll lead you right to Marion Square.
Right to Marion Square. And you always have you do your flight demos and all that, but you always bring a lot of birds with you from the center. Is that going to be the case again this year inside the tent?
You know, we try to bring as wide a diversity as possible. We probably overdo it a little bit sometimes, but we've got 17 or 18 different species of birds that we're planning on bringing this year. People will be able to see everything from the owls and falcons and hawks from the small end, little scops owls, up to we'll have an eagle with us, and a tawny eagle, and vultures, and you name it. We try to, again, to show people diversity, and it allows us the opportunity to teach a number of different things during the weekend.
One of the highlights of CUE and the Center for Birds of Prey is the flight demos. Last year, I got there. I had about 3 hours to spend at CUE last year. And folks, you cannot cover CUE in 3 hours. Just take it for granted.
No, absolutely not.
But I was fortunate enough to hit perfectly in Marion Square and catch one of your flight demos. I know there was an owl there. I'm sure there was a hawk. I couldn't tell you exactly what kind. But do you launch those things out of the bell tower?
Not out of the bell tower. Okay. We always try to be as exciting as we can. You know, flight demonstrations are a lot of fun for us, both here at the center and during things like Wildlife Expo. You know, your point is a good one, that it's something that excites people to see these birds in action. We do bring some birds down from the top of the Embassy Suites Hotel there, the old Citadel building.
That's it.
That's always a lot of fun. And in truth, you never really know what's going to happen during a flight demonstration.
Right.
The birds are free to do as they choose, and even though they're well-trained, anybody that's been in the last couple of years knows we've spent some time during the weekend chasing birds that have taken little unauthorized trips around town. We're going to try our best to avoid that this year, but we, again, just like with the tent, we try to include a variety of birds. We have a couple of new things we're planning on trying this year with some different birds to give people a little different perspective, but it's always exciting to have the birds flying right over your heads and right around you, especially in such an interesting environment. It's also kind of cool to see that there are wild birds right there in Marion Square all the time.
Right.
People love to see that it's not just our trained birds that we bring, but red-tailed hawks that nest somewhere in the vicinity, and Cooper's hawks, and all kinds of birds around. We see bald eagles flying over the park during the weekend as well. So it's a great time to be outside watching birds.
And let me tell you, it's one of the best opportunities you will ever have to take pictures of these birds in flight. Last year, I got some great photos, probably better than I should be able to take pictures, but just some incredible pictures, really.
We try to provide people with an opportunity to see something up close that they wouldn't normally have that opportunity to see. Again, getting a good photograph is being in the right place at the right time. And with a trained bird, we can, in a lot of cases, make that right place be wherever we happen to be standing. So, it's nice. A little bit of cheating, I guess. You know, you can't call it catching a wild bird in flight, but, you never know. And that's up to the photographer.
That's it. You always have a big tent set up in addition to your flight demos, and it's I guess that's part of the educational side of the center. Is
exactly,
people go into that tent, and there are volunteers and people that work at the center, and you can pretty much ask them about any bird in there, and they will be able to tell you anything you want to know, and that's important. But inside the tent, take us inside and tell us a little bit about what's going on inside.
It's a huge challenge for us anytime we try to explain to people what it is we do at the center. I mentioned that it's not just birds and flight demonstrations. It's birds in general, and birds from a medical standpoint, and birds from a research standpoint, and why should we care so much about birds anyway? So essentially what we try to do during the weekend of Wildlife Expo is move a little bit of our operations downtown, a little piece of everything. We have tables set up throughout the tent that explore different areas of our mission, things from our medical clinic to our educational programs to our research. Obviously, the birds are the main attraction. People want to get in there and get up close to all these birds, some that they may have seen in the flight demonstration, others that are just there for display. But we try to provide an opportunity for people to have their questions answered about anything that we do. Obviously, it's an opportunity for us to involve new folks in the work we do, so we're always looking for volunteers and members, and we have tables set up specifically to describe volunteer opportunities and membership opportunities. We've got some merchandise in there too, t-shirts and hats and things for people to take home. But the idea is to try to, you mentioned at the very beginning, on our website it says closed for the weekend of Wildlife Expo. That's only because we're all at Wildlife Expo. Right. We try to provide everybody that's there in Marion Square with a little bit of what they might see here at the center if they were to come some other time.
Very nice. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you at SeaWe. But let's go back to the center now. We've covered those few days in Charleston. But you're there in Allendale year-round.
Yes.
Go ahead and give us a few specifics about where you're located in Allendale and, like, your facilities and that sort of thing.
Well, we are on the south end of Allendale. So if you're familiar with the Charleston area, we're just north of Mount Pleasant. We are the first thing that you come to when you enter the beautiful small town of Allendale. We're located with an entrance directly off of Highway 17.
Okay.
And it's pretty hard to miss, but if you're heading north out of Charleston, you'll see signs directing you to the Center for Birds of Prey, and our entrance is right there on your right, and the same with coming from the north from Myrtle Beach. The entrance brings you directly into our facility. We're very fortunate that we are located both in a town that is surrounds us with environmental activities. It's a great hub for ecotourism, if you will.
All right.
But we're also very close to Charleston. It takes about 20 minutes to get from downtown to our location, so it's a perfect day trip for folks from visiting the Lowcountry or a little further from Myrtle Beach, but not too far if you're making your way between Charleston and Myrtle Beach.
And you can take a break from either fishing in Charleston or hanging out at the beach in Myrtle Beach and go visit a place where probably not a lot of people know you're there and really learn some things about raptors and the environment they live in and how important they are to all of us.
Exactly.
When can people visit? I mean, if somebody's coming down this summer and wants to run up there and see you, are you open 5 days a week? Are there certain hours?
Currently, we're only open 3 days a week,
okay.
And we're working on that. It's one of the things that is a challenge as we grow. Being open to the public is a relatively new component to our work. We're in our 25th year of operations, but we've only been open to the public since 2008, and we're growing into that. We're open Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 in the morning until 5 in the evening.
Okay.
And during that time, folks are welcome to come in and visit at their own pace if they'd like, but our experience is largely geared toward being an interpreter-guided visit.
Sure.
So
every
day that we're open at 10:30, we have a guided tour led by one of our educational staff where visitors will be taken through our educational collection and see a variety of different birds and learn a little bit about them and perhaps some of the issues that they face in the wild, perhaps some of the things we might do to learn from them and to provide perhaps a safer world for them. And then following that tour at 10:30, there's a flight demonstration.
Okay.
And, it's very similar to the one that we do at the Wildlife Expo. Typically involves a larger number of birds. It's our home base here, so birds that might be too stressed by the Marion Square atmosphere to do what they do well may do it quite well here at the center. So that happens at 11:30 every day. And then the same thing happens again in the afternoon, a 2 o'clock tour, and a 3 o'clock flight demonstration. Typically, the flight demonstrations involve different birds in the morning and in the afternoon, so you can make a day of it if you'd like. And the tours are also led by different guides in the morning and afternoon and often cover different birds. So if someone wanted to come and make a day of it, they are welcome to do that. We have a wide variety of birds in our educational collection. We've got almost 50 different species of birds of prey from all over the world.
Okay.
And so it's birds that you can see in your backyard as well as birds that you may never see in the wild in your life. And our goal is to utilize those birds to teach people about birds in general and what they can tell us about what's happening in our environment. Birds are, as an outdoorsman would know, birds are great indicators of all kinds of things.
Oh, they're, yes.
They're everywhere we go. They're fun to watch and see, and people love to be involved with birds. So if we understand how to pay attention to them, well, often we can determine what's happening out there before it impacts us in a negative way. So we try to take it beyond just the excitement of looking at something, a cool bird.
Sure.
Everybody loves to see a bald eagle, but what can a bald eagle teach us about what's happening out there that we might not be able to see in any other way?
How do you go about getting your birds? I mean, are they pretty much all rescues or...
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Our permanent collection of birds, so we have about 120 individuals, and as I mentioned, about about 50 different species. About half of those are birds that were injured in the wild, either here in South Carolina and treated in our medical clinic or at other facilities around the country, and then couldn't be released back out into the wild. For instance, we have a pair of bald eagles that are on display that are birds that were injured in collisions with cars, and because of the extent of their injuries, they wouldn't be able to survive on their own. But we made a conscious choice that we were going to utilize those birds for education and that we were going to care for them for the rest of their life.
Sure.
So that's about half of our collection. The majority of our non-native birds, the birds from Africa and Asia and Europe and South America, are birds that were bred in captivity. So we have a captive propagation program here at the center. We work with other organizations that that breed birds specifically for education or for falconry or for whatever it might be. And that helps to maintain that diversity in the collection that we may not see coming through our medical clinic.
I gotcha. Very interesting. Now, you from time to time, you have special events. I'm on your email list, and I check in to see. And you got some really good ones, like a photo day, bunny walk. Tell us about some of the special events you have during the year.
So the one you mentioned there first, the photography day, it's an opportunity focused specifically on folks that like to take pictures. While none of us here on staff are expert photographers, we've learned over time that the things that these folks are interested in seeing. And so it's on a day when we're not open to the public, so the photographers all have solo access, if you will, to the center. We try to keep the groups fairly small, limiting them in the mid-20s as far as people. And then we bring birds out and sort of station them specifically for photographs.
Okay.
It's a great opportunity to get photos not only of these birds sort of posed for pictures, but we also do flight demonstrations during the photography day, where on a normal flight demonstration or in a program on a normal day, you might see five or six birds. On our photography days, we bring out 15 different species. So it's a great opportunity, and we do things we wouldn't normally do on a public day,
sure.
Setting up a flight shot and repeating it 15 or 20 times, where that might get boring to a kid that's watching a flight demonstration.
Right.
That's what the photographer wants.
Sure.
It's also an educational opportunity. It's not just snapping pictures. We always try to incorporate all of the mission-related materials
right.
that we talk about in our tours. And we find that the photographers really enjoy it. They get a lot out of it. We're doing something interesting on the Monday after Wildlife Expo. We've actually got Taylor Glenn, who is he's one of the first photographers ever to exhibit at Wildlife Expo. He's coming this year, and he's actually going to curate our photography day for us. So
wow.
He's a professional photographer who will be here to sort of throw tips out there, answer questions that people might have about specific shots. Some of our other special events during the spring and summer, we have a wonderful facility here, a beautiful property, 152 acres. And while the educational birds are a great attraction, the wild birds here are fantastic as well.
You get a huge
the painted
diversity.
Bunting is a great example.
Yeah.
People are always looking to see this most colorful songbird of North America, and we have a number of nesting pairs here at the center. And so we gear specific bird walks during the spring and early summer, specifically to see painted buntings and some of the other diversity of wild birds that we have at the center. We also have owl evenings throughout the year, which are kind of a unique experience. Most of our flight demonstrations happen during the day, and we certainly see that people enjoy watching owls fly, whether it's day or night, but it's an interesting opportunity for us to conduct a program in the owl's time when it starts to get dark, and we focus on owl behavior and owl ecology and some of the things that we might learn from owls, and we fly owls under the cover of darkness. So that's that's a really interesting opportunity that a lot of folks really enjoy.
I bet. We have some owls here in the upstate, and I enjoy hearing them, but I don't know if it's a different species of owl or if they're just more vocal down there during the mating season, but you can be in the woods and there'll be owls 360 degrees hooting.
It's one of the most exciting things in the fall and winter is listening to owls. I had an opportunity. I was in Hampton County sitting in a deer stand and had barred owls all around me.
Yes.
And they're vocal, so you hear them, and they're mysterious. Rarely, if ever, do you see them. And that's one of the things I think that draws people to owls so much is that we know they're there, but
yes.
But where exactly are they?
And
you've got the same owls there in the upstate as we have here in the Lowcountry. We only really have four regularly occurring common owl species, and okay. only two of those are birds we really hear: the great horned owl, which is the common backyard "Who's awake? Me too." And then the barred owl with the trill at the end of his
right.
call. I won't try to imitate that. I'm not very good at
that
it. That's the one the turkey hunters know. That's
yeah.
The
locator. Yeah, we use that as a locator for the turkeys.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. Well, great. This I appreciate you coming on doing this. I've learned a whole lot just in a short time. I'm going to get down there. Kara's been after me to come in and see what all goes on and be first
in
experience.
You need to come and see it.
I do. Okay, you're going to be at Siwi. If people want to come see you this summer, where do they find you on the web? A phone number to call to get more information?
So our website is thecenterforbirdsofprey.org, and you can find information there on days that we're open to the public. You can purchase tickets there on the center, on the website, sorry. It has information on special programs as well. You can also find us on Facebook if you search for Center for Birds of Prey. I'm not exactly sure what our little line there is, but
okay.
We're on Facebook, and that's a great way to keep up with current information. Also, any questions you might have, you can direct to us directly over the phone. Our number is 843-971-7474, someone answers that phone essentially 7 days a week.
Okay.
And also, if you find an injured bird and need to try to get assistance for it, that's the number to call there. And we have folks that answer an after-hours phone during the after-hours time. So that 971-7474 number is a great one.
Okay.
And we'll be at Southeastern Wildlife Expo all weekend. We have flight demonstrations at 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock on Friday. On Saturday at 10:30 and 1:30, and on Sunday we have one demonstration at 1 p.m. So we'll be there the entire time, but those are the times when folks can come and see birds in action. And then we'll also be supporting Jack Hanna, which is kind of exciting. He's a great friend of the center, and it's always nice to have a TV star coming to Charleston for anything. So we'll be supporting his show at the Gilliard Auditorium on Saturday at 3:30. So we'd love to have anybody that's in town come out and see us working with Jack. So we hope we'll see all of you, and you especially, Roger, during Wildlife Expo weekend. And we'd invite you to come on out and visit us anytime you're in the Charleston area.
I have plans to do that as soon as I have a spare minute. But I will see you Friday.
Looking forward to it. Awesome.
Well, Stephen, I appreciate you coming on. I look forward to seeing you. And, folks, if you're at Siwi next weekend, or if you're in Charleston, Myrtle Beach, or pretty much anywhere in South Carolina, it's worth the drive to go see and learn and be this close to birds that you may never be able to get that close to in a situation in your backyard. So I encourage you to go visit this summer. Centerforbirdsofprey.org. Stephen, thank you for coming on, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Oh, it was my pleasure. See you on Friday.
Yes, sir. Bye. You know, listening to that conversation, essentially replaying it in my head since we had it the other day. Owls, you know, you ride down the road and you see your red-tailed hawks, and you can see your kestrels and your buzzards, and, you know, whatever else you want to consider as a bird of prey or something they might have down there. But an encounter with an owl is something that will, there are three in my life that I can remember just as vividly as they happened yesterday. I was probably 15 or 16, deer hunting, 8 o'clock in the morning, cold morning, heard something coming from behind me, and it was an owl. He landed about 15, 20 feet in front of me in another oak tree, facing away from me. And all of a sudden, he just, and it's like their head has a universal joint. It swiveled around, and he was looking 180 degrees behind him, right at me. And his big eyes, and I said to myself, I said, whoa, I'm not a squirrel. I am a lump of camouflage on a tree, and I'm not something to eat. But I hope you'll, if you're going to see me, I hope you'll see him. He also told me they are here in Greenville at the Scottish Games, and that's Memorial Day weekend, so they'll be here then. Or if you're in Charleston and Myrtle Beach or wherever this summer, go take a visit. And while you're there, you can go to McClellanville and see a really cool fishing village. It's not very far. Hang on through the break. We're hoping we're going to have Mike Dillon on. If not, I just got some stuff to fill in, so we'll see you on the other side of the break. So, tell me I'm the only one. So, Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're having a good day. It's a little chilly out there. But, you know, when you got a title like Vice President of Competition for Richard Childress Racing, you know, he's probably still out there trying to catch one of those last fish. So, you know, if he gets a chance to call in, I know they were worried about having a signal down there on the lake. And, frankly, you know, when you're fishing for the money they're fishing for down there today in a striper tournament, you know, radio show might be the last thing on your mind. But anyway, if he calls in, we'll get him on. If not, I kind of give you the rundown of what's going on. We've got the Open Striped Bass Tournament Trail that Mark Crawford is putting on. They've got about 40 anglers at each of the. I think they had 40 at Lake Murray last tournament. They had 38 registered as of yesterday for the one on Hartwell today. And what that is bridging. You may have remembered the striped bass challenge they had on Lake Murray back in December. They had 170 boats, 545 people. And they've got a really cool video that they did of that event. But anyway, that's what this is about. They're trying to get a striper fishing trail going between North Carolina and South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina, Georgia, fishing those lakes. But it's a really cool opportunity. I had dinner with them. We talked about a few things that are coming up. So if he doesn't get on this time, we'll get him on later on. And the nice thing about striper fishing is you don't have to have a bass boat to do it. You know, it was amazing the number of Carolina skiffs I saw down at the ramp. Not, you know, 16 footers. There was a 27 footer and there was a 24 footer. Some of the big ones, but you don't have to have that, you know, the wrapped bass boat and all do striper fishing. And, you know, kind of fun. It's almost like crappie fishing with minnows. with the little gizzard chat on there. And let me tell you what, Joey at Lake Hartwell, is it Fishing Center? Just built, he was at one place, he just built a new place. He's got, if you're a striper fisherman, this is a lot because striper fish is mostly live bait, has a double pull-through bait station down there. You pull your truck with your boat on the back of it into a lane. He takes bait right out of tanks, puts it right in your boat. You never have to get out, really. It's a neat setup. You know, check it out. But anyway, we'll cover a few other things. If he happens to get a chance to call in, we'll get him right on the show and because he is a fun guy to talk to. He really is. Every year, if you don't know it already, it's tax time. And I do this kind of grudgingly, but it is for a good cause. It's not like the dollar contribution to the presidential campaign fund or whatever that's found on the front page of the 1040, or the second page of 1040, I guess. This one is a checkoff for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources or the Endangered Wildlife Fund that we have here in the state. This is, it's a form I-330. Pretty easy. I won't spend a whole lot of time, but a note from our director, and our director of our natural resources division is Alvin Taylor. He said, in his little note, he says, I'll never forget the first time I saw a loggerhead turtle. The year was 78. I was a young conservation officer from Marion County. The only water I experienced was the black water of the Little Petey River, and before me was a magnificent animal on the beach at Kiowa Island. He says, I've only had an iPhone back then. The success of the comeback efforts for the loggerhead turtle has been documented many times. But what you might not know now is that much of the funding for this effort in South Carolina actually came from you. This is a strange request for a writer to make, but right now I want you to stop reading this column and turn back for just a minute to the advertisement on the inside cover of the magazine. This one, the fantastic picture of a red-winged blackbird. He says, well, what can you do with a dollar these days or even $5 or $10? Back when I was growing up, that would have kept me in 22 cartridges of shotgun shells for weeks, or maybe even a new cane pole and enough crickets for a day on the river. These days, a few dollars won't get it very far, unless, that is, you put them together with a few dollars from a few thousand of your like-minded friends and neighbors in support of a worthy cause, and you can do just that with a stroke of a pen when filling out your state income taxes. The Check for Wildlife campaign started back in 81 to help raise funds to manage our heritage trust properties, and over the past 34 years, the money donated to it by conservation-minded individuals has done a world of good in terms of protecting habitats and funding research efforts for endangered species in South Carolina. In 95, they changed it to the Endangered Wildlife Fund. Donations received were instrumental. Success stories such as the comeback of the bald eagle, the peregrine falcon, the brown pelican, and the loggerhead sea turtle. A second fund, the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Fund, was added to give people the opportunity to direct their support towards the DNR as a whole, and South Carolinians have had proven their generosity a spirit and commitment to the conservation of our natural resources over and over again by stepping up and supporting both of these funds. We appreciate that support, which makes fulfilling our mission possible. So please consider supporting the Endowing Your Wildlife Fund or the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Fund when filling out your state income tax this year. The Fund 1, Endangered Wildlife Fund, thanks to your generous support, the number of bald eagles in South Carolina has increased from 13 to 237 nesting pairs. And I believe this story is a little bit dated. It might be several years old. But there are, if you notice, I've seen bald eagles all the way up here in the upstate. So with the success here in other states, the bald eagles have been removed from the federal endangered species list. However, there are more out there that could be, there are threatened or could be in our lifetime. And the funds you donate to this are dedicated to protection of those species. Fund number 16. So we got the first checkoff is number one, and the last one is number 16. That's the DNR fund. It just helps support the mission of the DNR through enhancement of programs and operations of the overall agency. So if you want to pay a little more tax with your state return, you can do the checkoffs, and it will go and be put in to good use. If you're keeping up with the deer legislation, Senate Bill 454, the Subcommittee on Natural Resources had a meeting last Wednesday, I believe. It did not come up. I did get an email this week that S-454 is on the agenda for the House Natural Resources Subcommittee for February the 17th. And why is that important? Because it has to make it out of that subcommittee to the full committee before it will ever make it to the House for a vote. So I know Quality Deer Management Association has put out the names of those subcommittee members. I'm not going to do it on the air, but if you go Google House Natural Resources Subcommittee members, you'll come up with the four. Give them a call. They need to know whether you're for or against it. You know, look, this is I'm all for it. I'm from the upstate. You talk to somebody in the Lowcountry, they're dead set against it. And it goes back to that, you know, here in the upstate, deer haven't always been here. We've always had regulations on them. In the Lowcountry, pretty much not had any regulations. So that it's a heritage thing for them trying to have a statewide season. We did it with turkeys. You know, turkey season is just around the corner. We did implement a statewide season, statewide limits. I think everybody's pretty happy with that. And we're in a changing environment, you know, different influences of population, urban growth, housing developments. Our timber is much of what used to be hardwoods or regenerative growth is now pines. And we've got coyotes and all that. You have the hunters and our impact on the deer population. So whether you're in support of it, and I hope you will be, or whether you don't support it, S-454 is coming up February the 16th, 17th, and call them and let them know what your thoughts are on it. I've called. They're very nice. The secretaries, of course, you're not going to talk to the committee members, but the secretaries are very nice. They want to hear your opinions for or against. So I encourage you to take part and vote with your phone call. Let's see. Well, I guess it wasn't a very good – this is kind of funny – it wasn't a very good FLW tournament tour stop for many of the South Carolina pros. I know none of them made the cut. Brandon Cobb, Latimer, you know, some of our North Carolina friends, Brian Thrift and Matt Airy. Anthony Gagliardi had up here Friday morning. Thursday was kind of a rough day. He did have five fish for like 8 pounds, so they were really small. But he put up a picture on his Facebook page on Friday morning, and he said, I'm heading to my waypoints this morning named Hope and Prayer. Friday night, he put up another picture, and he said, I've changed those two waypoints. They now have the names of Crashed and Burned. That wasn't a very good one. do you want an FLW update? The co-angler, I'm fishing the co-angler tournament. I'm fixing to order my jersey, and it's going to be a good one. It's an all South Carolina jersey because Level Rods, Anthony Gagliardi is Level Rod Company, is going to sponsor my rods. Z-Man Fishing, based in Ladson, South Carolina, where I'm going Wednesday, to meet up with Daniel Nussbaum and those and take a tour of the facility and all. They're going to sponsor all my soft plastics, jig heads, chatterbaits. You know, they do all that. And it's a really interesting process. You're going to love having Daniel explain to you how they make soft plastics these days. And then I got a hold of Jason Hart with Marilina Industries. Marilina is the parent company for Huck Gear. And they're sending me a foul weather suit to wear. So it's going to be fun. I tell you what, I have spent every night when I go to bed, Lord, I just want to catch one fish a day. One fish a day. That's all I want. And I'll be happy. So, well, I don't guess Mike's going to make it today. We will get him on because this tournament's big, but he has a real heart for getting kids back out in the outdoors, and fishing is his way to do it. Striper fishing. So we'll get him on. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mary Rowe, Palmetto Conservation Foundation, about the Palmetto Trail. And then we'll come out and wind it up. And then I won't be back till next Saturday. So hang on through the break. We'll see you on the other side. It's always nice to welcome back people to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And today we're talking to Mary Rowe, who is no stranger to this program. Mary's with the Palmetto Conservation Foundation. And how are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. Thanks for coming back on. Been a few months since we talked. We talked right after the big floods back in October. And I just wanted to see, I know y'all have probably had a chance to get out on the trail and find out what's what, but give us a trail update if you would.
Well, right now in the upstate, the trail is in excellent condition. We're able to go in and do the necessary repairs, and so at this point we're good to go in the upstate.
Good.
Still down in the low country and some of the Midlands area, we are working on some of the repairs. They're going to take a while because of, I'll just give, for example, down in the Watery Passage,
sure,
we've had significant damage, and so some of the trails are still closed. But on the positive side, we really had some great volunteers come out and help. We now have Workday Wednesdays, and we're getting good groups out to do some really significant work. So right now, I'd say the trail is looking pretty good. It's a good time to go hike.
And it's the right time of the year, too.
It is. It is. You know, it's a beautiful day today across the state. It's not too warm. And everybody, I think this weekend is going to be just terrific. So February is a great time to get out. The vistas in the upstate, you can see for miles and miles and miles. So I encourage everybody, if they haven't been out hiking yet, to do so. This is a great month.
Work days. We got Workday Wednesdays open for all volunteers. Anybody wants to go?
It is. It is open for all volunteers. It's a great way to get a good half day of exercise. It's also a great way to learn about the trail and a little bit about trail building. If anybody's out there interested in really learning how to maintain and do some trail building, this is a great crash course. You really get to learn by some of our great trail coordinators.
And they can find out, I guess, Workday Wednesdays.
Go to our website. They're posted there. You can click on. You'll see exactly where those work days are going to be.
Okay.
It's really very easy. And you know, we provide lunch for everybody. It's a lot of fun, but it's very gratifying.
Yeah. It volunteering, and for a lot of kids, does this? I guess this would qualify as community service.
It actually does. It does. We've partnered with a nice group out of the university, the Mountaineering Club. And so actually tomorrow they're out working with us and volunteering, and that goes back to their community service. So, you know, and there's also those corporations that are out there that are really trying to serve their community. So, again, that fills that little niche also, if your company asks you to get out and do some community service work.
PCF, upcoming events, anything on the books for the next few months?
Let's see what's coming up. We're going to be at SeaWee.
Okay.
That starts next week. If you haven't been to the Southeastern Wildlife Exhibition, that's a great event in Charleston. We'll be there for 3 days. And actually, some more exciting news, the Palmetto Trail Pale Ale is available. You know, RJ Rocker's made us a great beer. And so we're going to be featuring down at Seaweed three different happy hours so people can come and have a little pint of PTA with us and learn a little bit more about the trail. So the Charleston restaurant establishments have been real supportive, and so we've pretty much blanketed the city with our beer.
Good.
Not a bad thing, is it now? But,
not a bad thing. All right. Okay, February, we talked about it. It's a great time to go hiking.
Yeah.
Where would you go if you were going in February?
I think I might in the Midlands probably do the Peak to Prosperity Passage.
Okay.
Down in the Low Country, definitely do the Ondaw. It's all along the Intercoastal. You know, the grass has turned to a sweet golden color. You know, it's a little warmer. You'll feel invigorated. And then, of course, the vistas. Well, why not do the Blue Wall Passage or the Poinsett Passage, because the elevations there, you know, unlike when the canopy comes in the spring and the summer, you're going to see vistas. You're going to see all the way into to North Carolina and so on. So I'd head up that way. We did have some interesting news, and I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, we have partnered with the town of Walhalla.
That's it.
And, right. And so we're extending our terminus into Walhalla. And we're going to be putting on or partnering with the town and with the local Sorba organization. But we're going to be building some 10 to 12 miles of additional bike trails.
Yeah.
So look, keep your pulse on that. I think that's probably one of our more exciting projects right now.
Very nice. Mary, how do people find the Palmetto Conservation Organization and more information on the trail?
Well, you know, visit our website, www.palmettoconservation.org. Like us on Instagram. Like us on Facebook. Send us your pictures. Show us when you're out on the trail. We love hearing from y'all. So what we like to think when we're sitting in the office that the trail is being heavily used, and we want to see those pictures of you on the trail.
Very good. I plan to get some of mine to you here very shortly.
That's great. And always thank you for having me on the show, and thanks to the listeners who go out and hike our trail.
Thanks, Mary, and I'll hook up with you soon.
Very good. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, Mary. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Always good to have Mary on the show. And I'm amazed at the pictures a lot of people are putting up. They're getting out there. They're hiking. It's the perfect time of the year. Like she said, all the leaves are off the trees. So if you're up in the upstate along the mountains, you probably can see a good ways, especially with the clear atmosphere. No haze right now. None of the, but it's amazing. No haze, but still in the evenings, if you look up towards the mountains, they're still blue. It's no guess as how they got that name. And got it. Well, January, let's see, but actually not January. The second annual coyote workshop planned for Webb Wildlife Center, March 23rd through the 24th. The DNR, with conjunction with the members of the South Carolina Trappers Association, will host a coyote trapping and management workshop at the Webb Wildlife Center in Hampton County. Workshop starts 1 p.m. Wednesday, ends at 5 p.m. Thursday. You don't have to have any trapping experience whatsoever. It's geared towards persons with little or no coyote trapping experience but are eager to learn. Everyone attending will be expected to set traps and participate with the group. This is an extended hands-on trapping workshop for individuals who want to learn to manage coyotes and will involve extensive outdoor participation regardless of the weather, hot or cold, rain or shine. Workshop will cover such topics as equipment selection, trap modifications, trap preparation, site selection, set making, running a trap line, and trapping safety. Oh, boy. They only knew what we used to do with kids with those leg hole traps, bury those things in the dirt. Yikes. And I've still got those traps. They're rusty as all get out, but we still got them. I was wondering we didn't lose appendages. Oh, me. The cost of the workshop is $100, includes overnight bunkhouse accommodations at the Webb Wildlife Center, which is a really cool place to stay. Dinner Wednesday, breakfast and lunch on Thursday. The registration ends when they get 30 participants. So applications are available on the DNR website or by calling 803-734-3609. Jay Butfalosky is doing the, he's the Furberry Project Coordinator. He did all the coyote seminars across the state last year. Good guy. And, you know, it's something we all need to think about. It's controlling those coyotes. The other deadline you got coming up, February the 15th, is the Harry Hampton Memorial Wildlife Fund photo contest. I think it's pretty cool. You got four categories: wildlife, except birds, because birds have their own category; outdoor recreation, fishing, hunting, hiking, boating, camping, hunting dogs, etc., and then scenery or landscapes. Let's see. All the photos have to be taken in South Carolina. File format should be JPEG. It must be at least 2 megabytes. No digital manipulation or editing. I don't know how they figure that out, but they will. Images must be tasteful and appropriate for public and family viewing. Top 100 photographs will be chosen by our panel of judges, and then they're going to decide. So at the remaining, let's see, winning images will be printed and mounted by SCW Magazine display at the 2016. Okay. So you're gonna get a showing at the Powder Metal Sportsman's Classic March 18th through the 20th. Pretty cool. So if you're a photographer, want to get your photo entered in this, check out the Harry Hampton Wildlife website, which is www.scwildlife.com/photo contest. So, let's see, that's that and that's that. Oh, I did not go to the SHOT Show. And if you've listened to the show for any amount of length of time, you know, I've kind of, there's certain things I just like just because I like them, because how you look with them. Browning has brought back, and I have a Browning A5 Light 20, the old humpback. And we used to have a 16 back when, I forget how long ago that's been. That's probably been 20 years maybe since they had to produce the 16. They are bringing back the A5 Switch 16. And they got it right up here. Glass walnut stock, brass front breech, front sight, humpback receiver. It's called One Sweet Shotgun. And it is really pretty. And it's often called the gentleman's gauge. The in-between 16 is, to many hunters, the ideal ammunition for the perfect gun. Oh, me. You just fall in love with some guns just because they're out there. And it goes through all the list. You want to know the kicker? $16.99. $1,700. I haven't bought a shotgun in a long time, and that's exactly why. And that's it. Chuck Norris for this week, and this will really date you. You ready for this one, Dave? Chuck Norris can skip a track on a cassette. If you grew up in the digital age with CDs, you have no clue what I just talked about, but research it. It's pretty hard to do. Hope you're going to CWE. You can buy day tickets there. Take the shuttles. It's a great thing. Take lots of pictures. I know I will. I'm going to be there Friday all day. That's it for another day. In my mind, I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, hey, as always, make time to get out there. Find a trail to go hike on. And always be prepared when you go. Most of the bridges and roads are back up, so take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. Clear evenings make for some beautiful sunsets. So, anyway, have a good week. I'll be back next Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. In my mind.